Oh, glorious day. I'm glad we can experience His presence on this side of eternity. Aren't you grateful for that? Man, precious, precious Jesus. Had a great week at VBS, and I want to encourage everybody to pray for the kids that were here. I mean, some incredible seeds were planted in these kids. Great biblical truths were just washing over them, and heard some response from some of the kids, things they would say to their parents about trusting God, and it was phenomenal. It was awesome. Had a great week. And so you guys pray for these kids and pray that God will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will come and water those seeds, and some growth will take place. And God's raising up a generation, if Jesus tarries, and that's these kids. And they need to know who Christ is. They need to be able to trust God. So y'all pray for these kids. A great week. Amen. Have you guys ever, the title of the sermon is Are You Thirsty? Have you ever been physically thirsty to the point where you're just about, if I don't get a drink of water, I think I'm going to die in the next 5 minutes? Anybody ever been there? Carlene and I went to Palladura Canyon, I guess 4 years ago, towards the end of December. We just needed to get away during the Christmas break. And I don't know if you've ever been to Palladura Canyon, but it's a beautiful place. If you've never been there, I encourage you, if you're driving up to Amarillo, just at least get off Interstate, what is that, 25? I'm not sure what it is up there. 75? 27. Well, I had the 7 and the 2 in there somewhere. But anyway, there's signs. Just follow the signs and turn off and drive through the canyon. It's a state park. It's phenomenal. It's beautiful. And, you know, scientists can say, well, over thousands of years of water flowing and erosion and stuff, this is the finished product. But, you know, that was just God's paintbrush, to be honest with you, putting the finishing touches on something phenomenal, incredible. There are some cabins up on the rim of the canyon that we had rented one of those, and I guess it was the third day that we decided we'd go hiking. They had all kinds of hiking trails, biking trails. The shortest one was like 7 miles, and they had maybe an 11-mile trail and a 23-mile trail. And those trails would start on a park road and end up back on a park road. And we weren't quite that interested in walking that far, hiking that far, but we thought we would go ahead and do a 3 or 4 mile hike, kind of like a walk, what we do on a try to do 4, 5, 6 times a week. And it wasn't a cold winter. It wasn't warm. The temperatures during the day were 65 degrees and at nighttime 45. And there were warning signs all over the place about if you're going to hike, bike, anything on the trail, be sure to take plenty of water with you. And the maps said the same thing. And we're thinking, well, it's only 65 degrees. How that may not apply to December 29th. And but we grabbed a couple of bottles of water each, and we started out on our journey. And we were looking at the hiking trail, and we were looking for some kind of landmark on the trail to go to a certain point, 2 miles deep, and then walk back out the 2 miles. And so we were walking, and we came to several forks in the trail that weren't on the map. And you know what Yogi Berra says, if you see a fork in the road, you take it. Well, that's kind of what we did. I don't know if we went the right way or the wrong way, but you'll catch on to that joke in a little bit. So we walked a long way, and we were trying to time ourselves. We knew how long it took me to walk a mile. She was walking my pace. But things were kind of uphill and downhill, and we got way, way back in there, and I was getting hot. She was getting hot, and I was starting to blister. I couldn't believe it. 65 degrees, the sun shining. And I had, at the point where we decided we were going to turn around, I had consumed 1.5 bottles of my 2 bottles of water. And Carlene had, she had about one of them that was gone. And I was tired. I was hot. I was thirsty. She looked pretty fresh. And it kind of reminded me, some of you older folks can relate to this, but if you've ever seen some old Western where this band of cowboys are crossing the desert, and the star of the show looks like he just stepped out of a shower when they stopped and took a break. And he's got a canteen that he's drinking out of his canteen. He's giving his horse drinks of water. Just looks fresh. Well, that was Carlene. And then you've always got this goober that could not, he just drank all of his water too soon, basically. And he's over there and he's trying to get drips of water to fall out of, and he's fighting the other guys for his canteen. Well, that was me. I mean, that was the condition I was in. And so we started walking out of that place, and it was about all I could do to take little sips of water along the way and finally get back to our vehicle, get cooled off. And that's probably the thirstiest I have ever been. My body just longing for some kind of water just to satisfy me physically. And, we can also get that way spiritually. And I'm not looking for any sympathy from anybody. I'm really not. But that's where I'm at spiritually. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. There's this thirsting for things of the Spirit that everything else seemed like that I've tried has not satisfied me. And Jesus has been revealing some things to me over the last couple of weeks about that. So the reason I'm perhaps in this condition. That particular day I was almost physically dehydrated. And God gave me a word, Billy, you're spiritually dehydrated. You haven't consumed fluids. You haven't consumed spiritual water to keep you spiritually nourished. And he kind of gave me that word. And I want to share a couple of those thoughts with you this morning in regard to that. But before I do that, let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you that you, God, that you love us unconditionally. And Lord, you're so good and so awesome and so mighty. I thank you again for this week with those kids, just seeing them stand up and worship you without regard to what they look like. It was just abandoned, unhindered worship. Lord, teach us as adults to love you that much to where it doesn't really care, or we don't really care. It doesn't really matter what people think about us. Lord, we're totally sold out to you. And Father, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit move in such a way that we're all changed. We love you and we trust you like no other, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a couple of invitations in Scripture for those who are thirsty. And I'm going to look at one example in the Old Testament, one example in the New. Isaiah 55 will be our first reference. But before we look at that scripture on the screen, I want to give you a little background about where the Jewish people are in their history. Everybody find your note sheet. You feel the freedom to take notes if you'd like to. The Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, were in their land, the land that God promised them. And because of sin, because of rebellion, the entire nation was taken captive. The northern part of that nation was taken captive in 750 B.C., somewhere around there, by the Assyrian army, which was a very brutal takeover, a very brutal people. And they came and they killed most of the Jewish people, and they took the rest of them off into captivity to their nation, brought some of their native people back, and placed them in the land. 150 years later, the Babylonian army came and they attacked the southern again. They attacked the southern part of that kingdom, and overcame that kingdom. And they took a lot of them away captive, but they left some of the natives in the land. So this was a people that was displaced, and they really didn't have possession of their land without somebody else ruling them until 1947, and officially in the mid 60s. I'm not sure about all of that history, but sometime in there, actually, the nation of Israel was, well, it's always theirs because God said it was, but they were back in the land without anybody ruling over them. And so this was a people that was displaced. I mean, they had lost basically everything. They had lost their relatives. I mean, it was just one big family, if you think about it. Aunts and uncles and cousins and great-great-greats and nephews 58, 60th times removed. And they had lost a lot of their relatives, their kinfolk, their possessions. And in the midst of that struggle, here comes a word from the Lord. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. It should be on the screen. It says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live." Now, if you look at the original language, there's another word in other translations that precedes this come. And it's the word is ho, H-O. And it kind of means like, hey, it's an invitation. Stop, everybody, listen to me. If anybody's thirsty, let him come to the waters. And that's an invitation that went out to them, and that's an invitation for us as well. I mean, the people just, they really had no reason to be excited about their day, I'm sure. Yes, they were Jewish people, but the invitation was them, if you're really thirsty, even though things are bad in your life, even though you're in another country, here's my word for you. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And that invitation, I believe, is still valid even today. And then the second reference is over in John 7, verse 37 and following. Let's go ahead and read that. Lee, can you get that on the screen, please? This is an invitation from Jesus. It says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now think about this statement that Jesus made. There's a feast going on, and he just randomly stands up, and he said, if anybody's thirsty, you know, come to me and drink. Now, does that seem like an odd invitation in the middle of a feast that's going on? It's kind of like you get, and I'm not a deer hunter. I've never been deer hunting. Y'all slay me now. I mean, I'm just, my dad passed away when I was young. I didn't have anybody to take me. I'm not opposed to it. I support it, you know. I support gun rights. I just don't deer hunt. But it's like if you had a bunch of men that are out deer hunting and they're talking about their exploits, about the deer they killed in the past, about how many days they've gone without bathing, and whatever you guys talk about when you're out, you know, out in the... And so, you know, a lot of grunting and stuff going on. And then one of them just out of the blue says, I was watching ice skating the other night. And that, boy, that little gal from Russia did this incredible triple Lutz. I mean, now how awkward would that have been in that environment? Just socially, just a bad statement. So this feast is going on, and Jesus stands up and says, anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Well, I did a little research on this particular feast and other feasts. So just if you'll oblige me just a few minutes, a little history about the feast. The law said that three times a year, every male would come and present themselves before the Lord. That was in Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Leviticus, way back, which means wherever God dwelt, wherever the tabernacle was, the temple was, that they would come three times a year and present themselves offering sacrifices to the Lord before the Lord. And those three feasts were the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and this particular feast, which was the Feast of the Tabernacles. And I find it interesting that we see Jesus in Jerusalem a lot of times during feast times. Maybe two reasons for that. It's a bigger audience. He doesn't have to perhaps travel as far to share the message that the kingdom of God has come, that the kingdom of heaven is upon them. That's maybe one reason. And this is my personal opinion. I think Jesus was attempting to, and he was going to do it, fulfill the law. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. Did he not say that? And I think he did that obviously through the sacrifice that he fulfilled in himself. But also I believe that Jesus maybe perhaps physically was going up to feast times to be obedient to the law. Now, we don't see him ever offering any animal sacrifices. He didn't have to. He was God. He was sinless. And there were opportunities to offer sacrifices for fellowship. Well, why would he do that? Because he's God himself, and he's in direct communication with the Father. And we see him eating things that were kosher, fish and bread, and he was cooking breakfast for the fish for breakfast for the disciples on the beach after he was resurrected. Was kind of weird, but that was their culture. And so I wonder if Jesus actually literally didn't come to abolish it, but he fulfilled it, maybe perhaps, as a Jewish male. That's just my thinking. Now, this particular feast It was a 7 or 8 day feast. And every day, at the end of the day, best I could tell, this is tradition. Now, what scholars believe went on at this particular feast, that at the end of every day, that a priest would go and gather water from a pool, and after literally hundreds, maybe thousands of animals were sacrificed, they would take the water and they would go and they would pour it over the altar as a symbol of cleansing, as a symbol of renewing, you know, as a symbol of maybe re-nourishing that particular altar. And the last day of the feast, and it says in verse 37, the last and greatest day of the feast, it was more of one sacrifice, best I could tell, and it was a great celebration. An assembly would gather, and on that particular day, the priest would gather a lot of water, and they would go and they would walk around the altar 7 times, and they would pour the water out on the altar, again, as a symbol of renewing, replenishing, re-nourishing, perhaps. And scholars believe it was at that time when the priests were pouring the water on the altar that Jesus stood up with a loud voice. And basically, that's not going to satisfy you. If you're really thirsty, come unto me, and I will give you this living water that he talked about giving the Samaritan woman at the well. And I kind of wonder about the condition of the people that were coming to the feast. I don't think they're much unlike us today coming to church, to be honest with you. They were being obedient to the law. They may have been curious and came for that reason. They may have actually had some kind of hunger for the Lord, but they just really didn't know how to connect with him, possibly, perhaps. And I think maybe we're kind of like that in not just this church, but a lot of churches that exist. I mean, why are you here this morning? You don't have to answer out loud unless you want to. But what has drawn you here? What draws you here week after week after week? I've been reading a book by Bill Johnson. It's called Hosting the Presence. And he made a statement that's really stuck with me. He says, if there's something about this God, if there's not really a God, why are we longing for something more? Why do we come looking for him? Why do we come pursuing him? And to use the example that our bodies crave sugar. My body craves Dr. Pepper every morning at 7:30. I mean, it's crying out, screaming out for Dr. Pepper. Now, if Dr. Pepper didn't exist, would my body be screaming, crying out for Dr. Pepper? Absolutely not. And if God didn't exist, why is there this longing, this hungering, this thirsting for something more that we really don't know what this more is about? But something keeps bringing us here every week. People flock to churches every week because there's something more that they want. There's something more, I believe, that we're looking for. In my struggle, a couple of weeks ago, I felt like Jesus really said, Billy, you're to the point where you're spiritually dehydrated because you have not taken drinks of this living water along the way. And that's kind of odd to me because, you know, I spend time, I'm not boasting, this is just my routine. I spend time in God's Word every morning. I spend time reading devotionals. I spend time in meditation. Spend time in prayer. Some of them seem to be dry. Some of them seem to be a little more fruitful. Some mornings I'm just doing it because that's what I do. And during those times, you know, even though I'm doing that, I really don't stop and drink from the well. I really don't stop and drink this living water. It's as if I've got a cup of it sitting beside me, and that's what I really need. But what I'm really interested in is my ritual and not necessarily drinking that, or I'll take a sip or two along the way, or God forbid that I would just get it in my mouth and swish it around and spit it back out. I mean, that's sometimes I feel like that's how I treat this holy God that loves me and has died for me. And so I've really been diligent the last couple of weeks to just really just consume this living water. That's what I need. I mean, when we're physically dehydrated, I mean, what's the solution? It's fluids. And when we get dehydrated, the funny thing about that, we really don't know we're dehydrated until, help me out, medical staff. There's like 15 nurses over here in one section. We don't really know we're dehydrated until we're at that point, right? And then your body just kind of starts rebelling. Your kidneys start shutting down, and all kind of things manifest in weird ways because we're physically dehydrated. And I believe God has told me or shown me that can happen to us spiritually as well. Haven't you ever just kind of crashed and burned spiritually? And I don't want to do that. And so for me, you know, drinks. Man, Billy, stay hydrated is what I'm hearing from the Lord. Drink from this living water. It's available for you every day. Now, I've got to the point where I'm going to have to go have some kind of IV therapy. I mean, it's getting bad, folks. It really is. So this trip, you guys pray for us because we're going to the International House of Prayer on Wednesday. And I just sense I'm just going to go lay there and let Jesus do what only Jesus can do. And I don't know if it's some kind of spiritual IV he's going to give me, but boy, he knows what I need. And so that's my desire, just to sit under his anointing, sit under this river or whatever he wants to do to wash over me with this living water. And the neat thing about that water, he doesn't give it to us to keep it in. Out of us flows rivers of living water, not streams, not trickles, not some kind of stagnant pool, you know, that there's no outlet for. Read another statement. How do you know that you're full of the Holy Spirit? Well, you're running over. So out of us comes this living water as we minister, love on, and pray for other people. So that's where I'm at. You guys pray for us as we make that trip. And I want to encourage you this morning as we move into communion. And by the way, we have Jeff's blessing to do that this morning. I know it's kind of unusual for a pastor to be out of the pulpit and we do communion. But Jeff talked to Don Bourne about our district superintendent about doing that. Jeff has prayed over the elements. He's consecrated those. Are we comfortable doing that this morning, everybody? Okay, well, we have his blessing to do that. You know, Jesus is the bread of life. And this morning, as you come to the table, I want, and here's maybe, of course, this is an invitation from Christ. It's not my invitation. It's not a Methodist invitation, as Jeff always says. It's not Wiley Methodist invitation. If you love Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you're welcome at this table. That's the only qualifications. And as you come this morning, I want to encourage you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Clay read that this morning. Taste and see that he's good. Not this Hawaiian sweetbread, which really, to be honest, it's pretty good if you get enough of it. But you're not going to get enough of it this morning to really, wow, that was good. I mean, it's not going to do that. But as you come to the table this morning, seriously, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the blood that Christ shed for us, just come. All of you are thirsty. Just come and drink. Now don't drink, or we won't have enough for everybody to go around. And you're not going to have enough when you just dip your bread in a cup. There's not, you know, that's not going to be enough to whet your appetite. But seriously, you know, if you're really thirsty, which I think all of us are, we just don't know it, come and drink. If the those who are helping me serve and the praise team would come forward, please. Blood of Christ.
above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began.
Can you go ahead and come as you feel led? We have in the middle just individual cups and bread if you want to partake that way, or you can come to one of the stations on the outside. All who are thirsty, come.
Above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified and laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, thought of me above all, above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. Before the world began, above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what crucified and laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
He gave us life.
sinful crimes that I had done. He groaned upon the tree.
Stand and worship.
Amazing pity, grace unknown.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, I don't have a remedy, or I can't tell you, here's the five things you do to drink in this living water. Just ask Jesus about that. What's keeping me from experiencing this living water that you're talking about? He has the answer, okay? He has the answer. It may be a little different for you than it would be for me. But just pursue him. Be blessed this week, church. I love you. Jeff will be back. He did a funeral yesterday. Not a funeral, a wedding. I'm sorry, golly. There is a difference. There is a difference. A stark, drastic difference. Yeah, amen. So they'll be back this afternoon. And you guys are a great church. Be blessed. Pursue the Lord this week. God bless y'all.
At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received.